Time Lived, Without Its Flow, written and read by Denise Riley, with an introduction written and read by Max Porter.
Introduction. I wouldn't dare summarize this extraordinary book, or claim any definitive understanding of it. I can only tell you a bit about how I came to read it and what it did for me. I had written a short novel about grief. One of its central conceits was that two siblings who had lost a parent would speak in one voice, for each other, against each other, in a state of play. A language game of ever mourning. For them, time was unfixed. Their childhoods, their growing into teenagers, then adults, their notional futures as parents and as dead men themselves, this was all present in the nowness of their storytelling. These children were an autobiographical device. I had been trying to find a way of writing about what it is like to lose a parent. About growing up in cahoots with my time-travelling co-conspirator, my brother, along our illusory and twisting lateral axis, backwards and make-believe forwards, about what seemed like a distinct way we had of seeing other people, granted to us by the absence. To us it seemed like we had our own time and our own sight, defined by what we shared, and I had wanted to write about that in an attempt to better grasp it. I had been to interview the poet Alice Oswald. Afterwards, she read my novel and wrote to me. She said she had identified in the book some truth as regards grief. I'm not really a fiction reader, so the first thing I look for in any writing is its truth. I'm interested in the being of grief, not the feeling of grief. She asked if I had read Denise Riley's essay on atemporality, on mourning and time. I hadn't. All I knew of it was that it related to the astonishing poem A Part Song, which had appeared in the London Review of Books in 2012. A Part Song was a piece one doesn't forget reading. It is a long poem about maternal grief. It is about elegy, but rages against the elegiac mode, and takes its reader on an extraordinary journey. It is profoundly tender and breathtakingly candid. A few weeks later, Time Lived Without Its Flow arrived. I found that it was an essay about the being of grief. Its subject, therefore, is not death, but arrested time. Riley's project is to describe and interrogate that acute sensation of being cut off from any temporal flow after the sudden death of your child. It is an essay about minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years. It is also an essay which gathers into itself the poetry, philosophy, and being grief of others. After reading it, I sat for some time with the small book in my hands, marvelling that so few pages could have such an impact, could contain so much. I felt sure that I had emerged from the final pages quite changed, and I was grateful. A reader is changed by any text, but here the alteration felt fundamental. I felt I might never read poetry the same way again. And I felt I finally had some clarity about what happens to us who are still here when someone is suddenly gone. I can think of only a handful of works of art which have had such an instantaneous and welcome impact upon me. Truthfully, I might have thrown my own book in the bin had it not already gone to the printers. Later, I discovered that Time Lived Without Its Flow is one of those books that has been handed from reader to reader like a secret. And indeed, in those first moments after reading, I was already listing future readers in my mind, people with whom I discussed some of the themes Riley touches on, people whose strong reactions to other very dramatic analyses of grief suggested they might welcome this altogether more candid, pointedly undramatic approach, this rigour and what it generates in the feeling reader.